man's generation.
Let's give God thanks for the opportunity to be in his presence. Appreciate him for whom he is. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You are going to pray. Let's rise up on our feet. Hallelujah. You are going to pray and say, Lord, send me my word today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, send me my word within this very short time. In the name of Jesus, send me my word. For I know you have something for me. Be glorified. Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we ask Holy Spirit over to you, take charge and speak to us even within this time to your glory and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Put those blessed hands together for Jesus. And please, let's be seated. I am privileged to be one of the teachers to his glory. And our children are getting blessed daily. Amen. It is paramount for me to begin by saying that every provisions of this kingdom, whatever God has in stock for you, is only accessible via the word. Via the word of God. Without access to the word, the true word of God, you are not guaranteed to have what your desires are. Because the fullness of his power is domiciled in the word. And as we share the word today, that power that is inherent, domiciled in God's word, shall be released in your direction. In the name of Jesus. So Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word. He sent his word. And the word heals them. So when God is about to do anything in the life of a man, he first sends his word. You will receive his word within this hour in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I shall be sharing briefly on the word titled Engaging the Dynamics of Prayer and Fasting for Dominion, Part 1. Wherever we stop today is the Part 1. Anytime God gives us the opportunity, we'll continue with the Part 2 and so on and so forth. Key scriptures, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Scripture number 2, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You will not faint in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's just have a look at the topic we have at hand today, which I shall be sharing in the next couple of opportunities I may have during the year. Engaging the dynamics of prayer and fasting. Now, the word dynamics is gotten from the ancient Greek word, dunamis. Dunamis. Which translates literally into power, strength, ability to get something done. It is from there they also got that word, dynamite, which is an explosive substance that is used to blow up rocks. Some school of thought considers dynamics as inherent power. That is power domiciled within
a particular thing, person, or substance.
So, today we are talking about the power that is inherent, domiciled in prayers and fasting. We have been in 14 days marathon prayer and fasting. We are privileged to be in the 13th day today. We are rounding up tomorrow. And tomorrow is so loaded. The Bible said, a threefold cord, who can break? Tomorrow we have the excellent men meeting. They are praying. The women are also praying, same tomorrow. And we are rounding up these 14 days fasting and prayer also tomorrow. These things don't happen by chance. God has ordained it. Why? Because he wants to escalate the dynamics of his power in our direction. And you will receive your own in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It is important that we understand also, like I said before, every provisions in this kingdom, in other words, whatsoever God has in stock for us is available in his word, but accessible only by prayer and fasting. It's all domiciled in the word of God, but you cannot access it except you have gone there, hither. It requires prayer and fasting for access. It also requires prayer and fasting for sustenance. But to tarry upon the altar of prayers, where we can obtain what God has prepared for us, we must look at prayers as not only asking and receiving. It is babies. Yes, there is provision for babes. The Bible said, while we were babes, we drank milk. But now we are grown, we should eat hard meat. So there is always provision for babes. But as you grow in the word, in his presence, you get to understand that the provisions we have in this kingdom is not just about asking and receiving. Yes, there is room for that. But we must also understand that the prayer altar is a place of fellowship, a place of worship, and a place of relationship. All the ships. All the ships. You must go beyond the asking and receiving spree into a deliberate, conscious engagement in fellowship with God in the place of prayer and fasting. And you must root deeper in worship, and then you see your relationship sprouting up. If God were to meet all your needs right now, because we have a God that can meet all our needs, that your desire is not a problem for him at all. If God were to meet all your needs now, no need, no issue, nothing, are you going to stop praying that? If God were to deliver all your spiritual and physical provisions to you right now, what happens afterward? And that is why you see people that understand the rudiments of prayers, they spend time in prayers, praying for the kingdom. Furthermore, it is expected that we therefore mature in the place of prayers. And as we mature, we get to understand another thing. That when you meet with God in a place of prayer,
in response to you, that is, in giving your answers to you, God will always show you what to do. He will always come through to you with what to do. And that is how you know whether you have matured in the place of relationship with God. When you are praying, you become attentive to, Lord, what is expected of me in this particular situation? That is why Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call upon me and I will answer you. And what? Show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon me. I will answer you, asking and receiving. You will get the answer. But beyond the answer, there is a showing that is supposed to take place. And that is how you know whether you are maturing in the things of God. From expecting to receive things from God into, Lord, what do I do? That is how you know whether you are maturing into sonship. Whether you are maturing into having a consistent relationship with God. And God wants to bring us to that particular level where we look at prayer as not just because we want to ask, and that's the reason why so many are fainting. Because as far as prayer is concerned, the dynamics or the requirement of prayer, the power inherent in prayer is they don't have understanding of it. They believe that prayer is just asking and receiving. But he said, call upon me and I will answer you, which is the bread and the butter of prayers. And then I will show you great and mighty things which you hitherto did not know about. And that's talking about the revelation of his power in your direction. Excuse me. That's talking about details of his kingdom requirement. It's talking about interacting with you as a friend and pouring his mind to you, what he wants you to know about him, revelation, and what he wants you to do in order to see that thing done. But take us forward. What actually is prayer and fasting? Like I said before, prayer is not just an altar of receiving, asking and receiving, but it is an altar of instructions, fellowship, worship, and sacrifice. That is why most time, if you are a prayer person, as you go to God in prayers, and you are asking and praying and interceding, the next thing you will be looking out for is, Lord, what is the next instruction that will cause the mandate of what I'm asking for to be delivered to me? When I'm praying about any particular issue or concern about the kingdom, or praying for anything at all, I always like to tarry in order to hear the instructions that will follow. Because God will always have a word to say, something to say, an instruction for you to undertake in order for that answer to be delivered. Why? Because everything you want to ask for, God has already done it. It is done. But you need to know how to assess it in order to download it from the physical to the spiritual to the physical. They are downloadable on the altar of prayer and fasting, very correctly. But there are instructions to be followed in order to download it correctly. So, it's an altar of instruction. We have said fellowship, worship, and sacrifice. Sacrifice, yes, sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to pray. It takes sacrifice to wait on God. Now, have you ever wondered why people that are sanguine, you know, sanguine people, people that can talk a lot, you know, people that can really talk, when you bring them in the place of prayers, they keep quiet. They keep quiet. Or maybe yourself, you know that you like to talk. You are naturally sanguine. Eh? But when they say, let's pray, you will see your mouth shut. You are not praying. Or maybe you pray for 5 minutes, you're already tired. You are waiting for the next prayer. Do you know why? It boils down to what we just talked about. Because prayer is more of a spiritual thing. It is spiritual exertion. And besides, there are a lot of constraints around us that don't want you to pray. Number one is your flesh. So once mouth calls it prayers, your flesh begins to rebel. Your mind begins to riot. And the devil begins to hold strong and say no. Because he knows that's your only access for the release of the power of God. So let us pray. So then, that is why those that understand the place and the requirement and what prayer means, that it is just beyond asking and receiving. You see that as they come to God through the right channel, taking the right process and procedure, while they are asking, God has already answered what their desires are. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, these are the categories of people spoken of. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Before you call, if you understand prayer beyond asking and receiving, and you have a formidable relationship in place, ever ready to hear what God has to say concerning that thing, as it has to do with instruction, and you are ready to pay the sacrifice of what it means to pray, while you are asking, he has already taken care of those needs. God knows that you have need of those things. So therefore, what is prayers? We must, number one, understand that prayer is a spiritual business. Prayer is a business. Spiritual business. It is not just talking to God. It is not just verbalizing things. But it is a transaction between the physical and the spiritual. And there are diverse transactions that are happening around you. The occultists, they pray. The jihadists, they pray. The witch doctors, they pray. They transact between spiritual realms. We, as people with higher authority, we also transact in the place of prayer. So, except you learn to approach prayer in a business-like mindedness, you may not get the full benefit of prayer. So prayer should be approached or addressed business-likely. So when you are going to the place of prayer afterwards, know that you are going to transact a business. And for every business transactions, there are requirements. So it is not just talking to God. It's a transaction between heaven and earth, between the physical and the spiritual. And just as every successful business requires investment and labor, your prayer life requires spiritual energy, spiritual investment and labor for it to produce, for it to deliver results. And just as every successful business requires diligent approach, you need to approach prayer diligently. Except you start looking at prayer as a matter of life and death, which of course it is, you may not get the benefits that accrue to us in prayers. When I pray, I assess prayer as a matter of life and death. I pray as though, and of course, yes, my life depends on it. I am standing here today because of prayers. Some people around me know, my family know, that I'm here today because prayers. And I got to know Christ because of prayers. My grandmother. Hallelujah. So prayer is labor. Labor. It is not just a casual exercise. It is laborious. Apostle Paul described this concerning Epaphras as laboring fervently in prayers. Epaphras. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect. That you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God, laboring fervently in prayers. So prayer is labor. Now, except you understand this, you will always approach prayer casually. And I tell you, a lot of spiritual casualties we are seeing around the world today in the body of Christ, a majority of those that have approached prayers casually. Some have pursued other things at the expense of prayers. And they have lost those other things that they were pursuing after. But if you pursue prayers and God at the expense of other things will chase after you. I pray today that the grace for prayer and fasting will be released upon you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Another thing we need to know about prayer is that as a business, prayer is ordained to produce profit. Profit. There is supposed to be results for your prayers. So if you are praying and you are not seeing results, it means that you are not doing it right. And that's what we shall be talking about during this season as I have the opportunity to share. Thank God for the time, our children. I will not go deep. I will just, when necessary, I will stop. But there are things to do on the altar of prayers in order for it to deliver results. So, as people that are business-minded on the altar of prayers, we pray to obtain profits. Profit. And if you know the profits that accrue to people that pray, you will not want anybody to push you to pray. That is, we don't understand what is in prayer for us. But as God helps me with my little knowledge in prayers, I will elucidate this to us. And then the choice will be with us during this year, whether to pray or, you know, my father in the faith will always say, if you are not praying, then you are set to end as a prey for the predator. Who is the adversary? The roaring lion. But that will not be you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, But the talk of the lips tendeth only to poverty, penury. So if you are not seeing profit as you pray, like I said, it means that you need to rejig. You need to rejig your prayer life. No wonder when the apostles, the disciples of Jesus came to him, we shall talk about it in details, and told Jesus, "Jesus, teach us to pray." We have seen John teach his disciples to pray. Jesus did not tell them, hey, go. Just pray it the way you like. Just pray it any way you like, anyway, anyhow. No. He said, when ye pray, say. Is that not in your scriptures? He didn't drive them away because there are rudiments and requirements. There are prerequisites for prayers. So, what about fasting? What about fasting? Before we talk about the details, the role of fasting is primarily as a catalyst, an enhancement of our prayer life. It is meant to prep you and to prepare your spirit man for laying down, sacrificing yourself at the altar of prayers. Now, please note that fasting does not change God. He's still God. But what fasting does is that fasting will enable you to keep in check your body. And it will also enhance your sensitivity. Because prayer, like I said, is an altar of instruction. And so, when you are not sensitive, when you are primarily controlled by flesh, you cannot hear the instructions that God may be giving to you. So, fasting prepares you. Secondly, fasting secures supernatural speed of delivery of your expectations. It secures supernatural speed. It breaks yokes. Why? Because most of the things we are going through are premised to the yokes that are working against us. And most of these yokes are usually manifesting in our physical bodies and lineages, and it is transferred from one person to the other. So when you fast, you separate yourself from the yoke, and then you can pray for total deliverance. With time, we will explain this in details. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, as we round up, the Bible said, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" Number one, to loose the bounds of wickedness and to undo heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. So fasting is ordained for our deliverance so that we can assess God's provisions for us. It is required for us to also know that there are certain things that will not go except prayer and fasting is engaged. We look at some of the benefits of prayers and we'll round up wherever it ends. Number one, benefits. Prayer and fasting opens up our spirit man for divine encounters. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So when you pray, your spirit opens up to God for the receipt of that signal that instruction that you require for the change of testimony, a change of destiny that you are seeking for the testimony that you desire. Number two, I have said it before, that prayer serves as a catalyst, catalyzing us into our breakthroughs and bringing about deliverance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. So when you are praying, you are giving capacity to your spirit. And your spirit man is the hub of communication between heavens and you. Your spirit man is made alive through prayers. And so you are able to assess your inheritance and lay hold on them. Number three, it sets you at liberty. Sets you at liberty. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Liberation is not in view, except prayer is mixed with fasting. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, how be it? This kind goeth not, except by what? By fasting and prayers. By fasting and prayers. So there are certain kinds that will not go at all. That will not go. Except you had missed your prayer life with fasting. We still have 2 days, or maybe tomorrow. If you have not fasted, please try. Engage in fasting for your liberation. And finally, as we round up, it guarantees supernatural empowerment for dominion. Dominion. I'm going to start from this particular point the next time I will have time to share, because I will not be able to exhaust it. But note this. In Psalms chapter 63, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my soul longeth for thee in the dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen in thy sanctuary, talking about my soul thirsting for thee is a place of fasting and prayer. And then you are able to see the power of God in your direction. In Psalm chapter 66, verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies turn back. So when power is not in place, struggle continues. See, sir, the only language the devil understands is the language of power. Make no mistake about it. The devil and his agent will not let any man go for free except power is demonstrated. And prayer and fasting is the only access to power. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Jesus was baptized and he was led to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, and Jesus returned in the power and in the spirit into Galilee. And there went out the fame of him. He returned in power. You are returning with power. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are returning with power. But you see, as we round up, before your prayer can make any impact, you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said, I say unto you, verily, verily, surely, surely, except a man is born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So, I want to give you an opportunity because we are launching into the new year. If you want to be born again, to surrender your life to Christ, please, let me see your hands. You want to have a fresh start with Christ, So that your prayers can be answered. We don't need to waste our time. Just wave your hand. Hallelujah. There is nothing to hide about. The Lord bless you, sir. There is nothing to hide about. It is about relationship. Let us rise up on our feet and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We are going to pray and confess our sins. Yes, our brother is raising up his hands, but most of us, we are falling several times. We need mercy. You are going to pray and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And rejig my prayer life. Empower my prayer life for delivery. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy. If heaven is valuable to you, you will not be standing in the presence of God pretending. Lord, have mercy. I am open to you. Let your mercy prevail. It is by your mercy that we are not consumed. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. One prayer point before I round up. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Pray. Lord, endue me with the spirit of grace and supplication this year. I don't want to faint. Open your mouth and pray. I know so many sanguine people that can talk. But when he calls for prayer, I said it. They are not saying anything. Lord, endue me with the spirit of grace and supplication. Endue me with the spirit of grace and supplication. Endue me with the spirit of grace and supplication.
Praying. Continue praying. You might be willing, but your flesh is weak. Just pray that the Lord will give you the utterance, the voice to pray in this season. To remain committed in a place of prayer. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He tarried in a place of prayer. This message has come out to each one of us. To tarry in a place of prayer. We cannot do it by ourselves. Because our flesh is weak. Let's ask God for the grace. At any point in our lives. That we shall pray. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because this year, Father, we shall be a people of prayer. We shall be a church of prayer. We will not relent holding on to you in a place of prayer. And Father Lord, as we obey in the place of prayer, you will answer us speedily in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father Lord, we commit your Son that you have used to deliver this message, Father Lord, to spearhead these 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. Father, I pray wherever he has taken from, you replenish him. I pray, Father Lord, let him be the first partaker of the profit and results of this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. May it be evident in his life, in his spiritual life, Father Lord. May it also be evident in his own secular life in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone that participated in this prayer and fasting, Father Lord, that will finish tomorrow. Father Lord, I pray for uncommon result in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you'll do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever imagine. That whatever we table before you in these 2 weeks, Father Lord, you'll answer far and more than we can imagine in the mighty name of Jesus. As we round up, Father Lord, we shall see the results. We shall see the fruit. And Father Lord, I want this result and fruit not to just abide this month. May it continue for the rest of this year in the mighty name of Jesus. That every point in time, we will say we prayed and the Lord heard us and he answered us in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Father Lord, as we depart, we pray let your presence go ahead of us. Let it abide with us. Minister to us, Father Lord. Lord, we ask that you take the glory, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And Father, Lord, we pray for our pastor that is not here. Father Lord, as he's back in India, Father Lord, we ask, Lord, that you be with him, you strengthen him, you watch over him, and when it's time for him to come back, Father Lord, you bring him back safely. I use that as a source of contact to anybody that might be traveling today, Father Lord, or in the next week. We pray for journey mercies, Father Lord. They'll go safely and they come back safely. Take the glory, take the adoration. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.